Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
He's only 20 years old.
Great spot to be in the Mike Woodson.
Up top! Damian Lillard leaves it for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Welcome back to the Pack a Day Radio Show. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Ben Steele is going to be joining at 10:20 a.m. to talk some Marquette basketball, so look forward to that. That highlight you heard, courtesy of the Milwaukee Bucks. Some Milwaukee Bucks action from last night. Bucks looked fantastic. 125-96 win over the Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat. We might talk a little Jimmy Butler in just a moment here with the one and only Nathan Marzion. You can find him, of course, in the Pack-A-Day podcast as well as on Behind the Bucks Pass. You can find him on Twitter at Nathan Marzion. Nathan, it is great to be chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Great to have the Bucks playing some really good basketball right now. And, you know, I know we had a rough ending to Packer season, but it's nice that the Bucks have kind of picked things up to kind of lift our spirits since then.
Just at the right time, just when we needed it most, the Bucks are like, yeah, let's go on a 8-1 run over 9 games and play some of our best basketball. I am here for it. I have two questions that we need to start off with. Number one, how upset are you that Brooke Lopez stole a rebound from Damian Lillard to take away a triple-double?
Yeah, I mean, the game ended and I went on a live stream and I'm talking about how Damian had a triple-double, and then I see people comment and they're like, they took his rebound away, and I go to ESPN. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And it's, you know, obviously whatever, it's not that big of a deal, but it was kind of cool. Like, I was excited to see him get one because I know he only has a few in his career, but hey, I guess we'll have to hope he gets another one pretty soon here.
It wouldn't surprise me if Dame's just like, oh, you want to take that one away? I'll go get another one in my next game. It just sounds like something Dame would do, and I'm sure Lopez feels terrible in that situation as well. Ridiculous stat keeping in that situation. And then the second question, maybe the more important one, is did the Bucks need to just not practice and have 3 days off where they don't do anything before every game? Is that now the secret to success, getting 30-point wins immediately after doing nothing for 3 days? Is this the new Milwaukee Bucks and exactly what Doc Rivers and company need to have them doing?
Yeah, and I guess they should just start out down 20-5 every game too. I mean, it was such a weird game where, yeah, they came out and looked exactly as you expected with everything that happened with their flights and, you know, getting to the game or getting to Milwaukee 2 hours before the game even, you know, is about to tip off. And you were like, they're probably going to come out a little sluggish. Sure enough, they come out, they're down 20-5. It looked like this is just going to be one of those games. They're going to lose this game. And it's just going to be one of, like, you kind of chalk it up to the travel stuff. And all of a sudden they immediately just turn it around. And I mean, they outscore the Heat by, what was it, like 35 points or something like that since, or after that 20-5 start. And so it was remarkable. It was an awesome performance just from that standpoint of, I didn't expect a ton from them. I don't think a lot of people expected a ton from them, and they really kind of played. I mean, Doc called it like he said it was a professional win. And I know Dane talked about in the post game. He was like, "Hey, no excuses. You know, I don't want to hear about the travel stuff and all that. Let's go win this game. This is a team we're better than." And you know, they asserted their dominance, and I think showed again how good they can be when they're locked in.
I don't know if they changed the line at all before the game, but I know that like the Bucks were favored going in. That was one of those that like I'm like, do I need to take a trip to Pottawatomie and put some money on the Heat, because the Bucks are just going to come out flat and this is probably not going to look really fun and the Heat probably like just run away with this. And then you're off to a 20-5 lead, like you said, with Miami. And all thankfully I did not do that, but I'm thinking like somebody probably did that and thought that same thing. And then you get off to a 25 run and you're like, oh, this is great. This is exactly what I thought was going to happen. The Bucks are flat, they're not going to be there, and then Bucks just boat race them. 125-96 was really fun to watch. Actually, the first player that I want to talk about, Nathan, is Gary Trent, and not necessarily just Gary Trent, but obviously he was just on fire last night. But how important is it, whether it is an AJ Green or a Gary Trent or whomever it might be making those shots from the outside, that one of those wing players is at least semi-hot from the outside, that can really stretch the defense, keep the defense honest, and make things easier for Dame and for Giannis, not just from an ability to navigate inside because the defense is a little bit more stretched, but also because they have that threat from the outside, making that threes that they can kick it out to. It just feels like when they have somebody like that that is playing at that level on the outside, on the wing, it just elevates everyone within that offense.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's the modern NBA. You need shooters, and with any championship team, you need guys off the bench that can come in and hit shots, especially when you're built around this two-man game of Dame and Giannis and players like that that draw so much attention to themselves on offense. It's like, if you can surround those guys with shooters, you are extremely difficult to stop. And that's one of the things that really has unlocked this Bucks team, was at the start of the year, you know, Gary Trent was really struggling. Other guys were really struggling. And they didn't have, I think they were middle of the pack in three-point percentage. And so it was like Dame and Giannis were doing their thing, but nobody else could really help them out. And then since that 2-8 start, I mean, Gary Trent has been statistically the best shooter in the league since then. And, you know, AJ Green has stepped up. Torian Prince continues to, you know, I mean, he hasn't done a ton lately, but he's still shooting a high percentage from three. Brook Lopez has shot much better from three during that stretch. So guys have stepped up and started to make shots around those two players. And again, when that happens, it's like you're a very, very tough team to beat, because you know what Giannis is going to give you. You know what Dame is almost always going to give you from a scoring standpoint. So if you can get guys to step up outside of that, it's massive. And I just think having their off-ball gravity combined with the on-ball gravity of Dame and Giannis, it's like, you know, defenses kind of have to give you something where you can't take away everything. And it's like, if you're going to live with other guys shooting threes, well, we now have Gary Trent, AJ Green, Torian Prince, Brook Lopez, all of those guys, you know, very good shooters that we're putting around Dame and Giannis. And it's just it's a good formula right now that they have going on for them.
Yeah, I totally agree. We're being joined by Nathan Marzion, Pack-A-Day Podcast and Behind the Bucks Pass. You can find him on Twitter at Nathan Marzion. Nathan, I know one of the things that you have talked about is the chemistry between Dame and Giannis. And at times last year, it just looked clunky, disjointed, even a little bit earlier on this year. When we see it click, it really clicks. As of late, it seems like it is really clicking, and we're actually seeing this Giannis-Dame idea that was born and felt like it was going to be something magical at the beginning that never really came to fruition. Now, all of a sudden, coming to fruition, it feels like these two are playing at an entirely different level, that they're on the same page, and it's really been fun to watch.
Yeah, it's been fantastic to see them grow, and I mean, they've talked extensively about, you know, this stuff takes time. They're both used to playing a certain way. They're both used to having the ball in their hands. They needed to have an adjustment period where they figured out how to play with each other and how to play with another guy that is basically, you know, another great scorer, another superstar on their team. And yeah, to start the season last year, it was rocky. I think there were moments in the second half of last season where it really started to shine a little bit, and you could kind of see the vision of where this was going. And then Giannis gets hurt. We don't get to see it in the playoffs, but then they come back this season, look a lot better. And, you know, they had that little stretch in late December where they were struggling. And it really was just, I think, Dame and Giannis coming back from illness, where they both struggled a little bit. The Bucks lost a couple games they should have won to the Nets and the Blazers. Everyone kind of freaked out. Well, guess what? Since then, they've been great. I think they just had to recover a little bit from being out with illnesses for a little bit. And, yeah, these last 8 or 9 games have been the best their chemistry has ever been, as far as they just are running the pick and roll extremely well. Dame feels like he's finding Giannis for alley-oops more than ever before. Even Giannis at times, you know, looking for Dame on the perimeter when he's getting pounded on the inside. They seem to be working off each other much, much better. And I guess sometimes it comes down to just your two best players and how well those guys are playing, you know, because if those two are playing at the level that they're playing right now, this team is tough to beat regardless of what anyone else does. Like, it's hard to beat Dame and Giannis playing this well, no matter who you are and no matter how well everyone else on the team plays. That's just a dangerous, dangerous combo. And so to see them really get to this level chemistry wise, and I think it's something that people question whether we would see, but we've started to see it.
We've started to see it at a consistent level, which is really, really fun. Again, Nathan Marzion, Pack-A-Day Podcast and Behind the Bucks Pass at Nathan Marzion on Twitter. You posted Dame's numbers over the last 9 games, averaging 26.7 points per game, 7.2 assists, 66% true shooting, including some true shooting numbers over 80% in a couple of those games. He's playing at a totally different level right now. He looks like he's having fun, that he's confident. Like you said, whether it's just taking time or whether he's just playing with a little bit more confident swagger, that Dame time aura, whatever it might be, he's on fire right now. And that has certainly, you know, gone a lot into this Bucks 8-1 run over their last 9 games as well.
Yeah, and I think Dame has a very reasonable case to be their most important player. We know Giannis is the best player, but I think this team, at the end of the day is going to go as far as kind of Dame takes them, because we know what Giannis is going to give you almost every single night. He's giving you 30-something points. He's giving you 12 rebounds. He's giving you 6 assists, good efficiency. Like, we know that. And the bottom line is, you know, it's going to matter, or it's going to come down to what can Dame give you on top of that. And if Dame is this level of Dame, again, they're extremely tough to beat. If he's the more inconsistent, less efficient Dame that we saw more last season, yeah, they're more beatable. And at the end of the day, I mean, I trust Dame to, no matter what he's showing in the regular season, I trust he's going to show up in the playoffs as we saw last year. Like, I still just have always had full confidence in him. But this season has definitely been way more consistent, way more, you know, better efficiency. He's shooting better from the outside. He looks a lot more comfortable. And he had talked about how Vin Baker, one of the assistant coaches, had gotten, you know, he talked to him on the phone and was like, kind of gotten his ear of like, hey, be Damian Lillard. You know, you are not a guest with this team. You are, like, this is your team. And take over and be that confident player that you were for so many years. And Dame said that, you know, really kind of unlocked something in him. And I think in the last 9 or 10 games, he's been fantastic and just looks so much more confident, so much more free. I feel like he's taking, or he has a quicker trigger from the outside where he's just taking some deeper threes. And as soon as he's open, he's shooting the ball, which is exactly what you want from a player of his caliber. You don't want him being passive. So I just love to see this growth from him and how he's playing more aggressive now. And it's going to, I think, unlock this team.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, Nathan, we talked about 8-1 over the last 9 games. Prior to that 8-1 stretch, they had lost 4 out of 5, including 2 losses to Brooklyn. Brooklyn giving them headaches for some reason this season. A loss to Chicago and a loss to Portland with a win against Indiana in that 5-game stretch. Then they come out, they win 8 of their last 9. If we're being realistic, you know, 2 of those wins against Toronto. You know, they do have 2 wins against Orlando in there. That Sacramento win all of a sudden looks really good with what they've been doing lately. But there's some, you know, teams that are not exactly special with in that run. Their biggest opponent that they had in that time was the New York Knicks. They lose by 34 on the road in that game. My question for you is simply this. It's not to undercut a 8-1 run over 9 games. It's impressive no matter what. But is there evidence that they can beat the best of the best, which is what they've struggled with a little bit? And then, you know, B, is there signs that this can actually remain consistent, that this can be who they are for the remainder of the season? Or is this just another one of those stretches and then we're due for another, you know, 2-game losing streak against Utah and Portland coming up in a couple games? Like, is this the real Bucks finally? Are we finally seeing it?
I will say, I think, like, people do have to keep in mind it's an 82-game season. There's always, no matter how good you are, there's always going to be rough stretches. I know, like, Boston's going through a little bit of a rough stretch right now. Does that mean Boston sucks? No. The Celtics are still really good. You're going to have some ups and downs throughout the season. It's a matter of kind of managing those and hoping that they don't come up too much. So there will still be stretches where they go 2-3 or 3-4 or whatever. You just hope it's not anything terrible. But at the end of the day, I do think this team has become a lot more consistent. I know people look to the 0-8 record that they have against Cleveland, Boston, and the Knicks, and they say, well, the Bucks just can't beat those top teams, and they're nowhere near that top level yet. Me personally, those 8 games, I think 5 or 6 of those were really close games or good performances from the Bucks. I think it was like 5 of those 8 were tight games. They missed guys in several of those games. Giannis missed a couple, Dame missed a couple, Chris missed several. So I think they've actually played well in a lot of those games. They just haven't come out with wins. And that was, a lot of those came also when they were playing their worst basketball, and they were still figuring out locations, and they were still getting used to everything. So I think there's a lot of context that needs to be applied to that, you know, 0-8 against the top 3 teams. I'm not totally worried about it, but it does still, I do still think this team needs to try to do some things on the margins, make some trades. I've talked extensively about how I think Bobby Portis should be traded. He's been playing okay lately. I'm not saying he's playing terrible, as he's been awful like last night or anything, but he, I think, is someone you could trade. Obviously, trying to trade Pat Connaughton, make moves on the margins that, you know, can still make you better, where you're even closer to those top teams and you're really starting to get into that top level of contenders. Because, well, they are playing great right now. It's, you know, this isn't, like you said, they haven't played a ton of fantastic teams. I think you still have to be looking to improve this team and not look at this as like, oh, we're perfectly fine.
You're listening live to Nathan Marzion of Behind the Bucks Pass. His incredible Bucks work is out there to read consistently. He's always putting great stuff out there. Again, you can find him on Twitter at Nathan Marzion. All right, let's talk about the fun stuff. Let's talk about that trade deadline and what Milwaukee can potentially do to improve this team. Like you said, probably something on the margins. There were, of course, the Jimmy Butler talk. There was the, for a little bit, the Bradley Beal talk, which seems like it's mostly been squashed as of late. Although with the Bucks, you never quite know. You didn't necessarily see Dame coming and all of a sudden Dame was a Milwaukee Buck. So you never quite know with Milwaukee, and they usually are apt to make some sort of move at the deadline. So what says you, Nathan? Are you looking at something huge? Like you said, something along the margins. How would you feel if all of a sudden Jimmy Butler or Bradley Beal or someone like that, Zach LaVine, were a Milwaukee Buck before the trade deadline? What are we looking at here from a deadline aspect for the Bucks?
Yeah, I definitely don't expect them to trade, you know, obviously not Damian Giannis. I don't think they're going to trade Chris. I'd be very, very surprised if that happens. I know there's been a lot of rumors and stuff. I think they're having conversations about all these guys besides Damian Giannis that they're just trying to improve the roster outside of them always. But I don't think they're trading Chris. Definitely not for Beal. Jimmy, just with everything that he's doing right now, is just a headache. I would not really be too excited to have him on this team. And LaVine would be interesting, but I think it's very hard to pull off. So I'm not gonna really go down that road too much because I just don't think Chris is getting traded. I really don't doubt you're trading Brooke with how important he is to what they do. So at the end of the day, I think it comes down to the Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton. If you can get someone to take his contract, that would be big to get under the apron and give them some flexibility because right now he's making $9 million. And is barely playing. So that's a guy you're doing everything you can to get off the books. Marjon Beauchamp, you can throw in trades. Maybe they can try to throw in DeLon Wright in a trade. So there's going to be stuff I think they just try to do on the margins. And I think that the goal is to get a more athletic backup big than Bobby Portis, where someone you can, so that you're not always stuck playing either Brooke or Bobby, a guy that's slow at center and, you know, can struggle in some matchups. Like Brooke struggles in some matches. Bobby kind of always seems to struggle on defense. So I think getting more athleticism from that position, getting someone that's a little bit more dynamic, versatile on the defensive end, that's going to be kind of the name of the game for this trade deadline. Because if they can do that, that's kind of the one big hole I think they have where unless they're going with Giannis at the five, which they don't do too often, you're stuck with a slow center. And there's too many times that I think it hampers them and it kind of limits what they can do on defense and just limits what they can do overall. So that's what I'd be trying to do. I don't know exactly what trades are out there that are possible. I mean, the guys that I'm interested in, Robert Williams from the Blazers, Larry Nance from the Hawks. He's injured right now, but I think he's coming back soon. There's other guys out there, Brandon Clark from the Grizzlies. Someone like that where it's a guy that you can kind of just plug in as a backup big. They'll give you some solid minutes. They're better on defense, a little bit more athleticism. That's what I'd be trying to do.
That's really, really funny. Literally, my two players I was just about to ask you about as a follow-up were Larry Nance Jr. and Time Lord, as whether or not they would be somebody on the margins that could make some sense, maybe in a Connaughton or a Bobby Portis type trade. Those two do seem like, I love Nance. I think he's one of the most underrated players. I think he'd be a really fun fit within this team. But like, which is there one of those that you would maybe prefer over the other?
I guess they both have their share of injury history, but I know Robert Williams has more of an injury history. So that's like Williams is probably more of a high risk, high reward where it's very hard to trust he'll stay on the court, but I think he's better when he's on the court than Larry Nance. Nance is more of kind of, I think, a little bit safer, but maybe not quite as good as Robert Williams when he's on the court. I could really go either way. It's 50-50. And again, at the end of the day, I really don't have too much of a preference who the specific players are. It's like, just get someone in here that has, again, more athleticism, a little bit, like plays the backup big role better than what right now Bobby Portis is doing. Bobby, you know, he can give you some good scoring nights, but that ultimately isn't, I think, what the Bucks need when it comes to winning a championship and in the playoffs. It's like, you're going to need someone that's a little more, you know, or I guess a lot more consistent and just better on defense and is not taking as many shots from Damian Giannis. I just think that you get someone in here that plays that role better, and you're going to be, I think, even better than you are right now. So, yeah, I don't really care about the specifics too much of who it is. It's just anyone in here that can do that and be a little bit more of a better fit on this team.
I agree. Really quick, Andre Jackson, dunk contest winner?
Yeah, for sure. I'll probably be putting money on him because I do think, I mean, he's with how high he can jump and his athleticism, he's got as good a chance as anybody.
I'm excited to see what he can do. Nathan, you're the absolute best. Looking forward to chatting with you soon on the Pack a Day podcast. Thanks for joining us today on the radio. What do you got cooking? What do you got coming out? And what are you working on right now?
Yeah, I'm still doing. I mean, my main platform is Twitter, so I'm always putting out Bucks, Packers, Marquette content on there. And I'm doing some articles for Behind the Buck Pass, as you, I know, mentioned earlier. Just put out something on Bucks midseason grades. And I have my podcast that I started on the Bucks. It's called Bucks University. Started it this season, so I do it about every week or so, or a little bit more than that. I do episodes just talking about what's going on with the Bucks. We'll have some trade deadline stuff coming up with, you know, doing mock trades and all that stuff. I know it's a fun time to kind of be an NBA fan during this time, because everyone starts looking at the trade machine and cooking up their own trades. So we'll see what I can come up with for the book.
What's your daily trade machine intake?
It's too much. It's too much to say that.
That's wrong. That's the first thing wrong that you said. There's never too much trade machine. It's an impossibility. Nate, you're the absolute best. We'll talk to you very, very soon. Make sure to follow him at Nathan Marzian. And of course, check out his work over at Behind the Bucks Pass. When we come back, we are going to be talking a little bit more about the Bucks trade deadline. And we'll talk again a little bit more about Davante Adams as well. Make sure to get those questions and calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. It's the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.